WMAL News at 7. Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. A 16-year-old's arrested on charges of second-degree murder after police say he shot a 15-year-old at the Benning Road Metro station on Thursday. Metro Transit Police took the teen into custody yesterday around noon. They say he was wearing an ankle monitor. They also say he shot the 15-year-old during a fight on the Metro platform. Stray bullets hit two bystanders. Police say all three are expected to recover. They originally said they were searching for three teens in connection with the shooting, but now say there are no additional suspects. A man being held on no bond for allegedly shooting a gas station clerk to death could face more charges after police found the decomposing body of his pregnant girlfriend in his apartment. The medical examiner will find out how 31-year-old Tori Moore's girlfriend died. Montgomery County State's Attorney John McCarthy says they're working with homicide investigators.
Find out what comes out of the autopsy, once the young lady's identity is confirmed. We find out what the medical examiner finds on the table, obviously related to cause of death. We can make more definitive decisions.
He says charges could be filed as early as Monday or Tuesday. A helicopter search done in Arlington this morning after Arlington County Police found a dead man at Columbia Pike and 4 Mile Run Drive. They're calling the death suspicious. Loudoun County residents who are customers of the now out-of-business Holland Trash Company have another opportunity to drop off their garbage at Parkview High School today. This is the second Saturday in a row that the county's collecting trash to help out people who found themselves in a lurch after their garbage collector abruptly shut down. Loudoun County spokesperson Glenn Barber.
And the expectation and hope is that that would give residents enough time to procure new curbside trash pickup with a new company.
You can drop your trash off today at Parkview High School from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. for a fee of $7. You have to pay that in cash. The owner of Holland Trash says customers owed a credit or refund will be contacted by a court-appointed trustee. If you're planning on drinking with friends this holiday season, the Maryland Department of Transportation will help you pay for a Lyft ride home. The department's using grant money to offer $5 credits every Thursday through Sunday through New Year's Day.
We do know that folks are out celebrating with family and friends, maybe people they haven't seen in a long time. We just want to make sure that they're getting home safely.
The rides are offered between 4 p.m. and 2 a.m. You can get a code at zerodeathsmd.gov/rideshare. WMAL Sports, sad news from the World Cup. Prominent soccer journalist Grant Wall died today in Qatar.
Wall was covering the Argentina-Netherlands quarterfinal match early Saturday when he collapsed at the stadium and was rushed to a local hospital. He was 49 years old. Wall had his own Substack and previously worked for Sports Illustrated from 1996 to 2021, covering soccer and college basketball. Wall wrote Monday that he wasn't feeling well and had gone to a clinic in Qatar where he was treated and told he might have bronchitis. Earlier in the tournament, Wall was briefly stopped from attending the U.S.-Wales match because he was wearing a rainbow-colored T-shirt in support of gay rights. Eric Messersmith, Fox News.
And in other sports news this morning, the Caps beat Seattle 4-1. The Wizards fell to the Pacers 121-111, and the Army-Navy game will be played this afternoon at 3. Traffic and weather next on News Talk 105.9 WMAL. Traffic and weather on News Talk 105.9 WMAL. Here's LBD in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Between the two beltways on the BW Parkway northbound, heads up, accident has been reported in Beltsville right near Powder Mill. On the southbound side of the BW Parkway, lanes are clear between Baltimore and D.C. Same thing on 95, no delays on the northbound side or on the southbound side. Maryland side of the Beltway, from Prince George's County to Montgomery County, inner loop and outer loop, you're not tapping the brakes. And on 270 in Montgomery County, no reports of anything in the roadway between the Beltway and Frederick. And now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Today, increase in clouds, a high near 45. Tonight, a slight chance of rain after 1 a.m., cloudy, a low around 38. Right now, 34 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Now, on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
The Saturday Morning Update.
It is the Saturday Morning Update. It is hour two. I'm Rick Fowler. John Gizzi joins us. He is the White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com, and quoted in the New York Post. John, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. That's quite an introduction.
We'll get to that in a minute. But first, let's talk about the Republican Party. What is going on? Kevin McCarthy playing the role as the incoming Speaker of the House, but I'm not sure he's got enough Republicans to back him up on that right now.
Let me be clear about something, Rick. 2 weeks ago, I reported on this program that Kevin McCarthy, while getting votes against his nomination for Speaker from fellow Republicans in their conference, was well positioned to bring them back in the fold and win on the House floor January 3rd. That was then, this is now. Since then, seven Republicans, including Arizona's Andy Biggs, who opposed McCarthy for the speakership designation, have said flatly they will not vote for him for Speaker. This puts him perilously close to having to go to a second ballot, something that has not occurred in the elections of Speakers of the House since 1923. Right now, the House of Representatives will be divided by a vote of 222 Republicans to 213 Democrats. That means a loss of 5 votes from the front-running Republican candidate McCarthy spells a second ballot and embarrassment for the Californian. The Gang of Seven say, according to Newsmax Sean Spicer, they won't be bought off by committee assignments or other favors. They want some concrete promises from Mr. McCarthy, and these include not getting involved in contested Republican primaries for the House. Now, one thing, Kevin McCarthy knows how to count votes. This week, he'll play a pivotal role in the steering committee of the House Republicans as they select committee chairman. And he'll, of course, be the major domo in the selection of committee assignments for these lawmakers. Is that enough to guarantee that he will win on the House floor and be wielding the Speaker's gavel by the end of the day? It's not so clear. It may take more than one ballot. We'll know in January.
Well, while we're talking about Republican leadership, what about the RNC? Ronna McDaniel has a couple of competitors.
She has a couple, and there's a couple of dropouts from the race, at least one who is prominent. Former Congressman Lee Zeldin, who lost a close race for governor of New York, was mentioned as a candidate. He announced on Wednesday he would not challenge Chairman McDaniel at the next Republican National Committee meeting, January 23rd. But he said that after 3 successive losses, she does not deserve to be chairman, and he hopes that the party will look for someone else. Roger Vigorial, a Republican National Committee man from Louisiana, has come out flatly against Chairman McDaniel and cited the mantra again, 3-time loser. Does this mean a lot and threaten the chairman? Not exactly. 100 members of the 138-member Republican National Committee have signed a letter in support of her reelection. Her lone opponent, or at least the lone one who's able to get votes on the committee, is Irmot Dillon, Republican National Committee woman from California and a fixture on cable television shows. Her candidacy is important because she's part of the inner circle of the RNC and a member. Beyond that, few see many votes going that way. Oh, yes, Mike Lindell, the pillow man, has said he wants to be RNC chairman. But again, this is usually an inside job for insiders. So, despite criticism that many say is legitimate, and at least one opponent, McDaniel looks like a strong favorite to be reelected, and that'll make her the longest-serving chairman in Republican National Committee history with 4 straight terms.
So I guess those Republicans who would consider Mike Lindell, they might want to sleep on it, huh?
No comment. None at all.
All right. Let's turn to Kyrsten Sinema, who has turned to being an independent. That could be read a number of different ways. She could go a number of different ways on this. But where do you see the reality check here? Is she really going to lean away from the Democrats, or is this maybe a little bit of a PR move to shore up her votes in Arizona in the future?
Let's look at the record. She has an 80% rating from Americans for Democratic Action, a liberal group, and she has a 14% rating from the American Conservative Union. In addition, and this has not been widely noted in the press, Senator Sinema will still caucus with Democratic senators. She will keep her committee assignments. And, oh, yes, so far she's indicated she'll vote for Democratic control of the Senate, meaning that she won't be any different from the other two senators who are independent, Bernie Sanders of Vermont and Angus King of Maine, except for the fact they've been reelected on independent tickets. Now, Senator Sinema is also dealing with political reality back home because she did help force President Biden to take some of the more expensive parts of his Build Back Better bill out of the legislation before she supported it. She made enemies on the left. She's infuriated a lot of fellow Democrats by saying she supports the filibuster. And the AFL-CIO president, Liz Shuler, said last year she would not rule out her organization backing a primary opponent to the Arizona senator. So overall, not much has changed except for the chart saying who is what in the 100-member Senate.
The Respect for Marriage bill will go to the president's desk. Tell us about the vote on that.
Well, the vote was very interesting. It was 258 to 169 with one abstention. Every Democrat in the House voted for the legislation, which in effect codifies same-sex marriage. This would have been thought unheard of a few years ago, but it's come about. Only 39 Republicans voted for the legislation. That may seem like a small number, but when one considers that Republicans were four square against same-sex marriage in the last decade, it's significant. I might add that same-sex marriage has been on the books, and it's been essentially ended as a topic of debate with the Obergefell versus Hodges ruling of the Supreme Court in 2015. With Justice Anthony Kennedy writing the final decision, the court by 5-4 ruled that same-sex marriage was legal throughout the United States. Prior to that, some states had legalized it through judicial decisions or, as in Connecticut or Massachusetts, by the vote of state legislatures. Every time it was put to a vote by the people in referenda anywhere, including California, same-sex marriage was defeated. But once the court essentially ended debate, it became a non-issue over the last 8 years. The vote in the House on Thursday was essentially the last hurrah for opponents of same-sex marriage. Missouri Representative Vicky Hartzler, who gave an emotional call for its defeat on the floor and ended in tears, almost seemed to be singing the swan song of the opposition movement. Americans have gotten used to same-sex marriage, and it is unlikely to come up for debate in any election coming in the near future.
Coming up next, we will continue our conversation with John Gizzi. We've got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in hot water with the Ethics Committee, and also controversy over the White House Christmas party. That's next, but first, Al B. Dees in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Prince George's County on the VW Parkway northbound, there is an accident. Left lane is blocked in Beltsville, right near Powder Mill. On the Beltway in Maryland, inner loop and outer loop, there are no delays. On the Virginia side of the Beltway, same thing. Inner loop and outer loop are clear. 66 in Fairfax County, you're not tapping the brakes eastbound or westbound. And 95 in Virginia. Set your cruise control. Lanes are clear between the Beltway and Fredericksburg. And now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Storm Watch 7 forecast.
We've got cloudy skies today with a high of 44. Clouds tomorrow, high 49. On Monday, cloudy with a high of 44. Tuesday, sunshine is back and will be up to 42 degrees on Tuesday. And Wednesday looks cloudy with a high 39. We'll be down in the 30s for the next three nights in the Washington area. 721, the Saturday morning update on WMAL.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Making sense of the news.
We continue our conversation with John Gizzi here on the Saturday morning update. Well, John, you not only report the news, but this week you made the news. New York Post headline, Biden faces press outcry after petty and punitive Christmas party snubs. Well, that's the headline. What's the real story?
The real story is this. Wednesday, invitations went out via email to the annual White House Christmas party. Normally, correspondents from any publication were invited. It was a night for electronic media, online, television, and radio, and then another strictly for print journalists. This has been limited over the years, and now the Biden administration is having a very select list of people who are coming. In other words, if you have the hard pass to cover the president at all times, you're not guaranteed going to his house, the people's house, for a Christmas party. Some of my colleagues complained about this. They said it was very unfair, a partisan application of the list for all to come and celebrate Christmas with the president, first lady, and the people they cover on the White House staff. For my part, I didn't have anything to complain about. Going back nearly 20 years, I was on the list for more years than I wasn't. I was able to take my wife, and she wanted everyone else in my family to enjoy it. Both of my parents went to the White House, shook hands with the president, and took a picture. My wife's two sisters, a brother-in-law, a sister-in-law, and a niece who was there, and she had a good time talking to President Obama. A television actress who was an early Obama supporter went with me. President Obama and his wife did trim the list, and I got cut, but I got back on when I bought this actress and supporter as my guest.
That's one way to do it.
And, of course, President Trump had the party one year, did not stay in pose for photographs, and never had another Christmas party. If I were to complain about this, I would not only be shortchanging these beautiful memories for my families and for a friend, I'd be an equal opportunity annoyer.
Well, that's after you annoyed the former vice president's office. We all remember that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez went to the Met Gala in New York and had a very newsworthy outfit on when she went. I guess the Ethics Committee is taking a look at this. And give us a little background on Ethics Committee and why they would look at this.
Well, accepting a gift, be it from a private entrepreneur or just about anyone, is something that has to be reported by a member of Congress. She did not disclose that the gown that she wore, one which was widely publicized and filmed and even had a message on it in favor of socialism, was something that raised eyebrows. It is also something that she never reported or listed the value of, or where she even got it from. The Ethics Committee grew suspicious, And Newsmax repeatedly asked whether or not they were going to make an investigation into who gave AOC the gown and what did it cost. Last week, the committee said yes, finally, it was going to look into these things, and we would have to stay tuned for further developments. In any event, AOC is under fire for ethics in the House, and we have certainly not heard the last of this story.
John, there was a story out of Germany that was kind of weird. What was going on?
Security forces announced they'd arrested 25 German citizens who were communicating under the radar on the net about a seizure of the Bundestag, the German parliament, the execution of Chancellor Otto Schulz, and putting in the pretender to a throne long ago abolished in the province of Thuringia, Germany, as the new head of state. This is a group that has ties to the QAnon group in the United States, sees a conspiracy throughout the country, and has had its numbers enhanced by anger over the fact that Russian oil and gas will not be coming to Germany during a long, cold winter ahead. Now, remember, no one was hurt. There was no attack on the Bundestag, and we only have the announcement of the German press that a monarch or a pretender to a throne abolished in 1918 would become the new chief of state once Chancellor Schulz was assassinated, and all kinds of scary dreams, but dreams that were never achieved, were exposed. How deep this conspiracy went, how much of a threat to the German government, whether it had ties to Russia, nobody knows. It sure was weird, and it made page one of the New York Times.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com, who is looking for a Christmas party to go to. John, thank you.
I'm open for invitations. Thank you, Rick.
And we've got Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer coming up right after the 7:30 news, along with KT McFarland. You know, we traded a Russian bad guy for Brittany Griner. How bad a guy was he? Well, you're going to find out. Stay with us.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington, a Cumulus Media station.
Making sense of the news.
News Talk 105.9.
News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. A day after a teenager shot another teen on a platform at the Benning Road Metro station, an arrest is made. Metro Transit Police say they took a 16-year-old into custody yesterday at noon. He was wearing an ankle monitor for committing another crime. No word on what that was. The 15-year-old who was shot Thursday morning, along with two bystanders hit by stray bullets, are all expected to recover, according to police. They say they are not looking for any other suspects. Homicide investigators in Montgomery County are trying to figure out if a man arrested on charges connected to the fatal shooting of a gas station clerk also killed his pregnant girlfriend. Montgomery County Police found her decomposing body in 31-year-old Tori Moore's apartment after they arrested him yesterday. State's Attorney John McCarthy.
There could be additional charges, if appropriate, that could come as early as Monday or Tuesday next week, where he would face additional charges, but I'm not going to speculate about that.
He also says that will depend on the results of the autopsy in the woman. Moore's being held without bond and will be back in court on Monday. Shocking news out of Qatar, where soccer journalist Grant Wall died after going into acute distress in the press box during the World Cup game between Argentina and the Netherlands.
Wall's agent saying Wall had been feeling unwell during the match and had complained of trouble sleeping. Medical personnel tried performing chest compressions after he collapsed. It wasn't immediately clear if he died at the stadium or in transport to the hospital. Grant's brother, Eric, says he suspects foul play after Wall was briefly detained for wearing this rainbow pride shirt during the U.S. match against the Netherlands last month. Homosexuality is criminalized in Qatar.
Fox's Marianne Rafferty, WMAL Sports. The Caps beat Seattle. The Wizards fell to the Pacers. Traffic and weather next. Traffic and weather on News Talk 105.9 WMAL. Here's LBD in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
If you're traveling between the two beltways in Maryland on the BW Parkway, heads up, northbound in Beltsville, there is a crash. Left lane is blocked near Powder Mill. No delays on the southbound side of the BW Parkway. 95 between Baltimore and D.C. You're not tapping the brakes on the northbound side and on the southbound side. On the Maryland side of the Beltway, inner loop and outer loop are clear. No delays there. And on 270 in Montgomery County, between the Beltway and Frederick, all lanes are at the posted speed limit on the northbound side and on the southbound side. And now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Today, increasing clouds, a high near 45. Right now, 33 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on WMAL.
Hey, it's Chris Plant. Why don't you join me on our incredible 2023 Mediterranean Sea Cruise? For details, visit ChrisPlantCruise.com.
7:36, the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer joins us, and he is the author of Operation Dark Heart, the president of the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Always great to be here.
All right, so we've seen the headlines. Victor Boot, the Russian arms trafficker, dubbed the Merchant of Death, released to Russia as part of the prisoner swap deal in return for U.S. basketball player Brittany Griner. Time magazine headline, The Dark Truth About Victor Boot. I was going to ask you to run down his rap sheet for us, but we've only got about 10 minutes. So if you can summarize Victor Boot and the deal.
So yeah, we basically traded the Merchant of Death for the Merchant of Woke. And this guy is essentially a tool of Russia's foreign policy. Let me be very clear on this. This guy started out as either a major or lieutenant colonel, depending on which lore you look back on, during that transition period from the Soviet Union to the Russian Republic. He became a tool of foreign policy, Rick, because the Russian Federation has laws against selling weapons to terrorist organizations. And we all know that they still want to sell to terrorist organizations, but they don't want to do it in a way that is obvious. It comes back on the nation state itself. So Boot's the guy. He's the guy you go to and or send out to do those dirty deeds that you don't want to admit to. And that's why he is so important to them. He's not only willing to do it, he's got the brains to do it. So he retired as a major lieutenant colonel. They figure out that he can be useful. And that's why he had access to all of these weapon systems within the Russian Republic. While they pretend to be a democracy, they really aren't. You have a government that still controls pretty much everything in Russia. The oligarchs control everything. He is their guy. And so what's ironic here is that he goes into into Africa in the 80s, arms everybody, goes into other nations in the 90s, continues to do that. And finally in the early 2008, he's actually engaged in trying to sell weapons to the FARC, the communist revolutionary group in Colombia, where the weapons were clearly going to be sold to kill Americans. And that's where the DEA caught him. And between 2008 and 2010, he was extradited from Thailand back to the United States. He's been in a medium security prison ever since then, after conviction in late 2010. So that's the story. And what's bad here, obviously, and the Russians are already taunting us about this, Rick, is that, yeah, this is great. This guy is one of our really good, effective tools, and he's going to be put back on the street to go back to doing what he was doing before with probably a bigger budget, a big order of the Russian Republic hero badge, and all sorts of accolades by Putin to let him go.
So she'll go back on the basketball court, and he'll go back into the field of war.
One goes to woke and one goes to war, absolutely.
So I've got a John Kirby clip here, and I want to get your read on it.
Sure.
They are treating Paul differently. Paul was never in that mix in their mind with respect to Mr. Boot.
So
lie. That's a flat-out lie. Flat-out lie.
Well, I don't disagree with you. But why do we play by Russia's rules? I mean, you know, if Russia doesn't want him in the conversation, then he doesn't go in the conversation. What's that about?
Yeah.
Don't we have a say in this?
I'm appalled that John Kirby, a retired Navy admiral, would be this callous to the actual fact that that the Marine, Whelan, was actually the one that the Russians wanted to return. It was the Biden administration who introduced Greiner as the lead one they wanted back. This is how horrible this administration is. When you have an admiral, retired admiral like John Kirby, willing to completely compromise his integrity and lie for purposes of pushing forward a political agenda when a Marine is stuck there 4 years, Rick, and he now pretends somehow that wasn't the truth, that Whelan wasn't the guy they were trying to, that was the lead guy to get out. This was changed by the Obama, that's a slip, by the Biden White House because they wanted this virtual signal. Yes, man.
I'm not sure that was a slip, Tony. I'm not sure who's running the show down at 1600. Go ahead.
That's it. I mean, Kirby's lying. It was always on the table for Whelan. As a matter of fact, there was an attempt to get both of them. There was a third party that the Russians wanted back that the Germans are holding. That was thrown into the mix. Suffice it to say, the Biden administration was only interested in getting Brittany Griner back, and they wanted those woke points. That's why they made it so public, just like they did with the Bergdahl retrieval. And there's a lot of parallels to the Bergdahl situation, but we don't have time to get into that.
So what does this mean just in general in terms of how our allies and our enemies are looking at us, you know, after the Afghanistan debacle? And then, you know, this looks like a debacle. You don't give up a guy as bad as Victor Boot is for a basketball player.
That's true. And that's what the Russians are saying, too. They're basically calling out the very thing you said. This, Rick, is what the rest of the world is laughing at Joe Biden over. The Afghan withdrawal, this is a continued pattern of weakness, showing weakness on the international stage. And, yeah, this is being seen by a huge victory, psychological victory by Putin. There's just no other way around it, and that's why it's being portrayed overseas. So, again, the serial weakness being shown by this administration only encourages those who would want and seek to do things to damage or attack U.S. interests globally. Again, I'm not a neocon. I'm not looking for a fight. But anytime you demonstrate weakness, you draw in the potential for adversaries to think that they can get away with something. And unfortunately, Rick, that's what the signal is from the Biden administration, that Katie, bar the door, you can do what you want because we just don't know what to do to respond.
I wanted to get your comments on a headline regarding Ukraine. And this is in the Daily Mail. It's quoting a Ukrainian soldier, and he's talking about the Russian reserve troops that are coming in. Quote, They are just meat to Putin, and we are the meat grinder.
Yep.
He says, the conveyor belt of Russian troops are being cut down as the Battle of Bakhmut descends into First World War hell.
Yeah, there's so many parallels to this being like World War One, and those who haven't seen the historic movies on it need to go back and see it, All Quiet on the Western Front and things like that. I think that's what it's like. I mean, you're talking about any given day, thousands of people being injured or killed and being underreported. It is a slog, and the Russians have decided to use essentially human wave tactics to basically send conscript after conscript, now that those territories are quote-unquote officially Russian, into this mix. And so they're going to work to continue to wear down the Ukrainian resolve, both through attacks on infrastructure and just wave after wave of these guys. And it's bloody. And if Putin loses this war, he is definitely out, because he's going to have to be held account for all of these deaths of Russian citizens that he's going to be responsible for.
Well, I mean, I hate to kind of harp on something, but when you see the momentum going so much against Putin in the Ukraine conflict, but then we give them the oxygen with the deal that we
do.
But I've said enough about that. Enough, Rick. All right, want to turn to the B-21 bomber. That was sort of a secret bomber that is no longer a secret. Tell us about it.
Right. So this is the follow-on to the B-2 stealth bomber, and it's supposed to be 100 bombers are going to build. That's theoretically what they're going to build. It's less expensive than the B-2. It's going to be essentially a smaller version that can carry nearly as much with better technology. And it's supposed to be essentially the replacement for both the B-1, which was from the 80s, and the B-2, the stealth bomber. The current stealth bomber, there was only 21 ever built because, surprise, surprise, as they built more, it got more expensive. So that was supposed to be a 100 bomber program as well. And, Rick, this is supposed to be essentially the backbone of our nuclear deterrent capacity, even though you're going to laugh at this. The B-52, built in the 1950s, will outlive both the B-1, B-2, potentially this one, too, because it's going to be flying until 2060. So talk about an airplane that's going to outlive all of us. Anyway, the B-52 and the B-2 is supposed to be the replacement of the B-21 is supposed to be the replacement for all of those weapon systems, and again, be about 100. And it's supposed to be essentially able to do a lot of the things that the B-2 could do, but do it better, and then obviously replace the B-1. So that's kind of the strategic thinking for the B-21.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, who are you rooting for today in Philadelphia?
Well, of course, go Army. There's no question. As I once told the chairman of the Joint Chiefs on the field at an Army-Navy game, I told General Joe Dunford, as I gave him an Army ball with Mark Milley right next to us, I said, Joe, if it wasn't for the Marine Corps, the Navy wouldn't be a service, just as a reminder. So,
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, thanks so much.
Great, thank you.
7:46, Saturday morning update. KT McFarland is next, but first, Al BD's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
On the Beltway in Virginia, I looked at the traffic cameras around the Beltway, and I didn't see any crashes, and right now, no construction's been set up. You will be at speed on the inner loop and on the outer loop. Now, in Fairfax on 66, you're not tapping the brakes eastbound or westbound. On 95 in Virginia, no delays being reported between the Beltway and Fredericksburg in both directions. In D.C., 295, 395, and 695, lanes are clear there. And on the Maryland side of the Beltway, you're at the posted speed limit on the inner loop and on the outer loop. And now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
A little cool for your Saturday. Temperatures making it into the 40s this afternoon. Morning sunshine turning into afternoon cloud cover, light north winds, and then we'll see cloudy skies going into tonight. And rain chances possible after midnight heading into Sunday. I'm 7 News meteorologist Jordan Evans in the First Alert Weather Center.
31 degrees in the nation's capital, 7:47, Saturday morning update. 7:50, the Saturday morning update on WMAL, and we are joined by KT McFarland, President Trump's Deputy National Security Advisor, a board member of the American Conservative Union, and the author of the best-selling book, Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. KT, honored to have you with us this morning.
Honor and a pleasure. Thank you.
Just spent some time with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. We ran down the rap sheet on Victor Boot. And from your unique perspective as a Deputy National Security Advisor, this looks like a bad deal to us. Are we missing something here, KT, this Victor Boot for Brittany Griner swap?
No, you're absolutely dead on. Look, these lopsided prisoner exchange deals, they're always available to any president. Only if the president is willing to give up everything the other side wants. You know, he's going to give everything to them, he'll get the deal. But what never fails to just sort of stun me is what horrible negotiators this Obama-Biden administration people are. I mean, you can't underestimate how much they'll give away to get a deal with a foreign leader. They like to play elbows out, sharp negotiators, no prisoners taken, if they're driving a hard bargain with Republicans at home. But with adversaries abroad, my gosh, they'll give away the store. Look at the Iran nuclear deal. Even the Iranians were stunned at how much the Obama administration gave away for the original deal. And the deal is so meaningless now that no matter what Team Biden does, what it tries to give them, Iran doesn't even want the deal. And if you look back at Obama, and these are the same people, by the way, a lot of the same people doing the negotiating. In the Obama administration, we got Bo Bergdahl from the Taliban in exchange for 5 Gitmo hardened terrorists who immediately returned to the fight to fight against and kill Americans and then become part of the Afghanistan Taliban government. And now they've released, as Tony Schaefer has said, they've released Putin's preferred agent of death, arms dealer, the guy who supplies narco-terrorists with weapons who are going to kill our border agents. And in exchange for one American and leaving, more importantly, leaving another American still behind, another American still in prison. Historically, we've always had a rule, Rick, and the rule was you don't negotiate with terrorists. Why? Because the terrorists, in this case that's Putin and his thugs, They'll just grab another American citizen on trumped-up charges. So we'll have a new negotiating chip. So, you know, I just, again, this is a lousy deal. Of course, Biden thinks it's a terrific deal, and all of his people parrot their excitement, but it's just a really horrible deal that will, like the release of those Gitmo terrorists in the Obama administration, probably result in more American deaths.
Well, you know, it's troubling in a sense that you leave Paul Whelan behind, and now you've lost probably the best leverage you've got on him.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess what bothers me the most about this whole, all the commentary about the bad deal, is that the left, including a lot of people in the Biden administration, they're cheering this as a great achievement because Griner is a black lesbian, and we've left behind it and a white Marine male. Too bad about that, but isn't it great that we got somebody of color and of gender, you know, a lesbian out? And yet the right wing is criticizing it for the same reason, that we've prioritized a black lesbian over a white Marine male. I mean, to me, this is sick. Americans are Americans, no matter what their race, what their gender, what their sexual identity. I don't care if they're purple. They're American citizens. And to have us internally then start arguing over this for those reasons, I think is just yet another example of how sick Washington has become. Like, if Biden was going to do a prisoner exchange, he should have gotten both of them out. But a better approach would have, instead of trading, as you point out, the biggest chip, how about buying these people out? That's what Israel does. Why release this merchant of death who's going to help kill Americans when he gets out? Why not trade something like a Putin crony? How about this? How about if we had said, look, we're going to put these other cronies of yours on the blacklist, sanctions, we're going to freeze their assets, we're going to take away their yachts, unless you release these American citizens. The approach that often the Biden administration, the Obama administration before it took, was we're going to do bad stuff to you unless you do this. How about you do the bad stuff first? How about, you know, if you're negotiating with bullies, you don't say, unless you do what I want, I'm going to twist your arm. You twist your arm first, and then you say, I'll let that arm go if you give me what I want. It's just, to me, it's an example of how bad every single time, every single negotiation they do. You got to wonder, do they have teenage children, any of these people? Because their teenage children must be getting away with murder. Can you imagine negotiating with these guys, if you're a teenager, you're going to just rob them blind. You're going to get everything you want. Forget about curfew. Forget about not having access to the car. These guys just bend over and give in to anything.
You know, one thing that I heard John Kirby say basically was that the Paul Whelan deal was never on the table. You know, that was not part of this. It was never part of this. And why is it, and I asked Tony, I said, why is it Russia gets to define the table?
Well, you've asked the obvious question that I guess nobody in the Biden administration, including the once great John Kirby, has ever asked. Why is it down at that table? Just say, come back, call us when it's on the table. And meanwhile, we're going to do all these other things to make your life miserable. It's like we're letting the bad guys determine how this negotiation occurs. The guy in the weaker position is determining how the outcome of this. That is not the way the world works, and it doesn't have to work. You just have to get a little bit tougher, and they just don't seem to be tougher. So what have they done? They've given Vladimir Putin a huge Christmas present, and they've given the narco-terrorists an even bigger Christmas present.
K.T. McFarland, the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People, makes a great holiday gift and plenty of time to get it at Amazon. KT, thank you so much as always.
Pleasure and an honor.
One thing before I let you go. I asked Tony who he was rooting for today. How about you?
Well, I'm a Navy family. Of course, there's even a McFarland section at the Army-Navy game. We're rooting for the Naval Academy to prevail once again, as it has done the majority of times in the history of America's greatest football game.
Equal time. Thank you, KT.
Thank you so much.
That's it for the Saturday morning update. Garden Sense coming up this afternoon at 1 right here on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington, a Cumulus Media station.
Making sense of the news.
News Talk 105.9.